Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University and is a licensed chiropractor with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. All right, we've got a show today that starts on a different forum. I've brought a guest on. Her name is Ellen Heed. I'm going to start doing this. And what I want to do is develop a forum on the air where occasionally I bring in practitioners who I've known, who I trust, and who I want you to know about. And over the next year, then, I want to compile people from all over, okay, all over the United States that have something to add to your help, but get the gold standard, and that's my approval. And that is the gold standard, because nobody's tougher on me than me, and nobody's tougher on my fellow practitioners than me. And I think we need to do this, and I'm going to bring people on in future shows who have spent incalculable sums of money being ripped off by holistic practitioners who had no merit and, as far as I'm concerned, no sincerity. So if you don't think you can get ripped off in the healing arts, please think again. I'd put my 20 years to support that statement. Now, I've got to tell you this. We're going to talk today about topics that have to do with sexual body parts, genitals. And if you're not the kind of person that can listen to commentary on vagina, clitoris, anal sphincter, internal genital massage, and this sort of thing, which is going to be medically valuable and is going to be done in a very tactful manner. But if those types of words and those types of topics aren't really the kind of thing you like to hear, if for whatever reason you might be a little nervous about listening to these things discussed on the air, then maybe this show isn't for you. So we're going to do a little disclaimer. I told you so. I don't think you'll have a problem with anything that's said. Everything that we're talking about today is medically valid, but these are intimate topics. So especially if you've got children listening, maybe this isn't a topic for them. Okay? All right. I said it. You heard it. Let's continue. Mom and dad. First, let's talk about mommy. Mommy has a baby. Now, I, as a doctor, have watched moms have children over the last 20 years and seen their lives change, and not just for the better. Children bring you good luck, and we know that. But how many moms are in the audience today who've had children and who start suffering from different types of problems after the birth? Everything from high blood pressure to diabetes to fatigue to depression to the fact that sex may hurt after pregnancy and after birth. How about you can't hold your urine? How about you can't hold your feces? How about you start suffering from all sorts of little signs and symptoms that you didn't know and didn't have before you birthed? There's two places to look, and you've heard it before on Dr. Bob's show, but we're going to get into it a little more deeply today. What happens after the cesarean? What happens after the episiotomy? What do those scars really do, and what types of therapies do we have for them? This is even in addition to the clay and the castor oil, which we're going to go over today. So I've brought my esteemed colleague on, Ellen Heed. I've worked with her for 12 years on multiple capacities. At some point, you want to go to her website, ellenheed.com, and see all the amazing things this woman does. As I said, I've worked with her for 12 years. Her credibility, all right, is absolutely supreme. I give her my total green light, and I want to introduce her to you today to talk about one of her amazing therapies. Ellen, good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Medici.
Ellen, we're going to talk about cesareans today, and we're going to talk about episiotomies, and we're going to talk about what you do, which is, and get this straight, audience, Ellen's developed a therapy where she goes intravaginally with her fingers through the vaginal canal up under the pubic bone and starts to work out the scar, to physically manipulate the scar, whether it's the cesarean or the episiotomy, to resolve it. And I think there are some very good reasons for that. But you don't know those reasons yet, because your understanding right now, if you've got an understanding of what happens with episiotomies, is that even if they're not good, you can get them from the outside, that a scar is just a line on the surface of the skin, and if you put something on it, it resolves. Well, we have another standard for this that we want to introduce today, but really the question is, and I'm going to ask you, Ellen, why do we have to go inside the vagina with the fingers to resolve the scar? What is it about going inside that you can't do from the outside? This question may be obvious, but it's not really obvious.
Well, you have to look at a scar as something in three dimensions. Most people see the scar on the skin, which is in two dimensions. They see the line where the incision was. The fact is the scar tissue reaches deep, deep inside the skin. Imagine if you took something the size of a plum or a grapefruit and took it into you. That's the size of the network, the root ball of fibrotic tissue, the way it infiltrates all the connective tissue and the organs and the parts of us that are subcutaneous, that means under the skin. You got to think of a three-dimensional sphere of fibrotic tissue that prevents healthy physiological function of organs, of circulation, of lymphatic drainage, etc.
All right, so we're going to get rid of this idea, guys. One thing we've got to do, if you've got these scars, cesareans, episiotomies, and you'll have loads of time today to call in, but for the purposes of on the show, we want to limit the calls today just to cesarean and episiotomy and all the things you think you're going through as a result. But the first concept here, and we really, Ellen and I, want to drive this home, is that the scar is not simply that line on your body that goes a millimeter or so deep. It's much deeper, as she's saying. It drops in a spherical, circumferential way, as big as a lemon or as big as a grapefruit. And as she's saying, it knocks out the lymph. It knocks out the arterial supply. It locks out venous drainage. It twists your nerves. Your electrical supply to your organs is twisted. And once it twists, it pulls your other organs out of place. And this is essentially the reflex. So when we say scars reflex, it's not a magical statement. There's a very sound, physiological, dissectable, visible, palpable problem. And Ellen's hands are so beautifully trained to feel this that she can finesse it from the inside. So, Ellen, you're saying basically that you have to go inside if you're going to get these scars.
If you're going to get to the root ball of fibrotic tissue, you cannot get that from the outside. You need to get it from both sides at once. If we're talking about a C-section, you need to be under the pubic bone from an internal approach. You need to be on the scar from a cutaneous. That means the place where the scar is on the skin. You're working that scar from both sides, the inside and the outside. That's the only way that I see improvement, especially in a C-section scar.
All right. You know, perfect. So one thing for our audience we've got to give them, and we did it. The scar is much deeper than that line on the body. Boom. The next one is, Ellen, define episiotomy. Where is it? And pelvic floor. So we're going to introduce a term today, and some of the men don't know this, and some of the women don't know this, and some of the women that haven't had children that are going to have children, they don't really know what an episiotomy is. So would you define that, an episiotomy?
An episiotomy is an incision that's made by a midwife or a doctor when the baby's coming out. In other words, in order to avoid vaginal tearing, an actual split of the pelvic floor, that's the area between the vagina and the anus, the perineum, in order to avoid a tear in the perineum, an incision is made. There are two kinds of episiotomies. One is straight down the midline of the body between the vagina and the anus, and another one is angled off to the side between the vagina and the sit bone.
All right, so these doctors are then doing these episiotomies routinely. Am I correct?
Less now than they used to, but it used to be extremely routine.
Tell me, why are doctors doing less episiotomies today? Have they learned something that We already know.
Yeah, doctors have seen that the outcome from episiotomies is not always positive. In fact, it's rarely positive, and they're not really that helpful, and they're not necessary. Women can actually stretch.
Beautiful. This is what I wanted to do with you on the show, and we're doing it. All right? This isn't esoteric mumbo-jumbo. This is something that's been done to women extensively over the last 30 years. And now medical doctors are writing in medical journals that there are side effects from these episiotomies. That's why we have Ellen Heed. And this is my point to you. Whether a doctor has to do one because he feels in good conscience he has no choice, you need to get it repaired. And Ellen's going to comment on how. That's number one. Number two, doctors today are looking to teach patients alternatives so they don't need the episiotomy. So even in good conscience, then, we have a problem. Not to mention, we're learning that we've done so many of these things unnecessarily. I'm going to start with a story. Here's a story, guys. Woman comes into my office a couple of weeks ago, and she's very shy to tell me that she's got this chronic diarrhea. And I'm talking to her, and I'm not quite understanding what she's getting at. And then I find out the truth. For 10 years, this woman, and Ellen, you follow with some stories after this, but if
sure.
This woman comes in and she bashfully admits that she defecates down her leg in public now. This is a true story. And this just happened a few weeks ago. And she can't hold her feces anymore. And I ask her, what happened? And of course, it's not just the episiotomy. It's she tore. She tore all the way from the vagina to the anus. She had the full tear. And part of that's because she didn't understand how to prep for the birth. The other part of that is once you tear like that, okay, and Ellen, I'll have you take over now. These muscles in your perineum, which Ellen's going to go to, they rupture or they strangulate, and they're no longer functional. Your pelvic floor stops working. Ellen knows the anatomy even better than I do. So if you comment on this story, what happened to this woman?
Well, what happened is she probably suffered an episiotomy and a full tear that not only went to the front side of her rectum, but all the way through to the back side. And when the back side of the rectum is, when the whole rectum is interrupted in that way, the sphincter, the circular donut of muscle that controls the movement of feces is interrupted and the nerve supply is interrupted, that spherical scar tissue that we were talking about is invested in the muscle, and the muscle can't contract to hold in the feces anymore. There's no control. Both internal, there's two anal sphincters. There's an internal anal sphincter, an external anal sphincter. That scar tissue can grow up and infest the internal anal sphincter. That's our go-to control for the movement of feces. The external anal sphincter, we have conscious control over whether we relax it or whether we hold it tight. The internal anal sphincter has a mind of its own, and we don't control that with our consciousness. And if scar is up and into that internal anal sphincter, it can't hold feces. That's the problem.
And of course, women that tear don't relax during birth. And what is that about? In other words, Ellen and I, at this point, I can see women coming in pregnant, and I know they're going to tear, and I know they're going to have problems because I can see their autonomic nervous system is off. So just comment, Ellen, you can see this just as I can on the kind of woman who's going to get pregnant, and she's either going to have to go cesarean, or she's going to have a real episiotomy or a bad tear, and it has something to do with some characteristic about her. We say she's uptight. We say she doesn't know how to relax. We say she needs to do Lamaze therapy. But get into that a little bit more, Ellen.
Well, I could say that elements of the psyche reside in the muscles of the pelvic floor, especially the smooth muscle. Those would be the sphincters, including internal anal sphincter, the cervix, the smooth muscle of the vagina. There's an element of unconscious tension that's held there as a result of somebody not being able to download stress properly. Even people who think they're relaxed, even people who are doing orgasmic birthing practices and all kinds of breathing and stretching and so forth, may not be aware of their unconscious tension. And you can see it. You can sense it by looking even into their eyes and noticing what's happening there with the pupils. If the pupils are constricted, so are the sphincters at the other end.
This is what I think you do, Ellen, as well as anybody I've ever known. And that is you can read those internal tensions and really address them in therapy. And this therapy, now I'm not talking about intravaginal massage or intraanal massage. I'm talking about simply massage therapy, but done like Ellen Heed does it, done in the context of the topics you've heard me talk about on the radio show, what it truly means to, I'm going to use this term now, open the meridians. You see, this notion about visualizing a stress-free existence and utilizing all sorts of meditative techniques to relax stress, as a scientist, and I would put Ellen in that category, we wait for your techniques, irregardless of what your techniques are, to relax. We wait for them to affect the body. If we don't see them affect the body, if we don't see the cervix relax, if we don't see the pelvis relax, if we don't see the psoas muscle relax, if we don't see your breath change, then we know you're not really getting yourself to that place. And that's the point. To prevent a tear, to prevent a cesarean, we need a body long before it gets pregnant to understand how to release itself, how to balance the autonomic nerves. That's show number 3 that I did. Review it. That's straighttalk.cc. This is ellenheed.com. This is Ellen Heed and Dr. Vincent Medici. And check her website out to get more information on this kind of thing. So what we're doing is saying, if we had a female at 27 years old, the first thing I'd do if she was pregnant is cleanse her body. And I get the poisons out so those poisons didn't dump into the fetus during gestation and you'd have a stronger kid. The second thing I think, Ellen, you'd agree that we would do is put her through some process where she really and truly learns to relax or she's going to tear. Now, I gave one story about a tear that caused bad defecation. All right, you lose your bowels. But this is just a subset of a much bigger issue. Ellen, explain this thing about the meridians and what the energetics of the body is as it relates to what happens to the energetics when you get a cesarean or an episiotomy.
Well, think of the meridians as rivers of electromagnetic energy that run, particularly down the midline and up the midline. If you think of the midline as the area between the crown of the head and the place you sit on, the perineum, that's called conception vessel. That's a big river of energy that runs from the crown down to the pelvic floor. And another equally important river of energy runs from the pelvic floor back up the spine to the crown. That's called governing vessel. Those two vessels meet in the perineum. When that perineum gets cut through or torn through or sliced through, whether it's an episiotomy, a C-section, or a vaginal tear, those rivers of energy are interrupted, and that has an enormous effect on organ function, on brain function, on endocrine function. That means the way the glands actually cue the rest of the body.
All right, so we're talking about something I don't think a lot of people understand. I live it, you live it. I want the audience to get it. We just introduced it. We just said that there's a line of energy in the front of the body. In Chinese medicine, it's called the Ren Meridian. And in the back of the body, there's a line of energy called the Du, Ren and Du Meridians. But that's esoteric mumbo jumbo. And people don't understand that. And what Ellen and I are going to do for you is turn that into something a lot more real in your experience. What do we really mean by the lines of energy in the body? Well, I'll tell you this right now. When we've worked with people, and Ellen will testify to this very deeply, we can teach them to contract down in the perineum and feel a release of tension in their neck.
Yes, so what that means is you can use special breathing techniques or special yogic techniques or special physical therapy techniques to work the muscles of the pelvic floor such that that energy explodes and is felt as anything from heat to white hot light that spreads up the back of the neck and kind of makes an explosion inside the cranium.
That heat thing and that explosion inside the cranium, Ellen. Again, I want to give this to the audience. We're going to make a claim that when you really get processed through different forms of body work, through flexibility training, when your tone is where it's supposed to be, that you're saying if you contract down in the pelvic floor through the vaginal muscles and through the anal sphincter, that you can actually feel that result in your head.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it feels like. It feels, you can feel pleasure. That's not related. It's not related to anything that happens in the genital. It's something that goes body-wide. It's felt as an explosion of liquid honey rolling through your meridians, and it feels great.
Guys, I know this sounds left field for some of you. Listen to this. This is not made up. This is straight talk on health. So you really understand, I go straight for the guts of the matter, and we're talking about it right now. So let's get a review on this. We're going to make the claim that when people tear during birth, when they get episiotomies, when they get cesareans, what they're left with and what explains the countless number of problems that happen from they can't hold their urine, sex is painful, they can't hold their feces, they have all sorts of reflexes into the kidney, they have low back pain, they have pain in the hip, and that's just the beginning of this. They have drastic fatigue. Your memory starts to suffer. You're absolutely, ladies, what do you think postpartum depression is? It's when you get these scars, and what Ellen just described stops happening to you. You lose that continuity between the pelvic floor and the inside of your brain. And that's the essence of your glandular system. That's your meridian core. So these lines of energy, and this is our point, they're not an esoteric, nonsensical thing you read about. They have real meaning when you're taught in a very supervised way to open them up. I've known Ellen for 12 years. From years back, I knew that when her pelvic floor would contract, you could see and you could feel with your hands the muscles in the neck relax. Now, this is where health is, and this is how women should be birthing. In the absence of these releases, you have premature aging, you have postpartum blues that go on for years. You have women that are giving child after child after child all their time and energy, and after three children, and then they're in their mid-30s, they are plumb tuckered out. And I'm sure we're going to have a bunch of moms on the line today attesting to that. So one of the reasons I wanted Ellen to come on is she can actually resolve a lot of this in prolific ways. And I'm going to ask her to tell, I think, one of the tell the story about the scar tissue between the cervix and the uterus, and how the intercourse was painful for years. This is a story she's going to tell you. Another one that she recently processed about a woman who, after having birth, having the child, started with painful sex, and it lasted for years until a couple of treatments with Ellen. This one's fascinating to me.
Well, here's the story. I had a client, and she came in and she was having problems with pain during sex, and it felt like her cervix was getting battered, and that had not happened to her previously to sex. But here's the kicker. She didn't have a vaginal birth. She had a cesarean section. And she thought, how could that affect my cervix? It wasn't part of my cervix. It wasn't scar tissue that grew from the pelvic floor in. And I said, well, what if it was scar tissue that grew from the C-section scar back toward the cervix? And she said, that's not possible. And I said, you want to bet? Let's explore and see. And I worked on that cesarean section scar. And she had hip pain and back pain as well.
When you describe this, so when you say you worked on this,
okay, so I
what does that mean?
What it means is I went in internally from an intervaginal approach, externally from the skin side of the scar, and I worked it from the back and the front at the same time.
So you kind of sandwich it.
That's right.
Between your fingers.
Sandwiched between my fingers, and you can feel the dimension, the depth, the size, and the elasticity of that scar.
Guys, I'm going to repeat this in case you didn't hear this. This woman comes to you, and you go intravaginally with one hand, and with the other hand, your fingers are on top of the
of her skin,
of
right
her,
at the scar.
And this was the cesarean.
Yes, at the incision.
Okay, and you're grinding away. Is it painful?
Not painful.
Okay.
I move very slowly. There may be slight stinging, slight burning. That's a good thing. That means we're actually changing the elasticity of the scar and returning it to higher function, returning the uterus to higher function, returning the abdominal muscles to higher function, and reconnecting the dots that have been severed.
And I want to point out that that's what you're great at doing, and that's why I endorse you, because when you do that, okay, your hands are so sensitive to such a sensitive area.
Mm.
This is the difference between some klutz going in and attempting this or somebody's partner trying to do this. This is a, we're not going to call it a medical procedure, but you have to have a lot of skill to pull this off. So you're on the inside of the vaginal canal pushing out. You're on the outside of the cesarean pushing in,
mm-hmm.
and your very skilled fingers then are feeling the depth of the scar. Guys, do you hear that? That sense of the depth of the scar teaches the practitioner how hard to push. And Ellen already said one of the keys. She goes in slowly with firm pressure so that it's not painful. And then continue. Where would we? So we went in and we worked the whole ridge of the scar.
Worked the whole ridge of the scar to get about 10% more elasticity in the first session. If you move faster than that, the scar can have problems. It will start to weep pus. That means you've gone in too far too fast.
Wow.
So it's all about.
I gotta cut in again.
Okay.
So we're saying now this is, guys, get this, man. This is where it's at. You're not gonna hear this on radio. You're going to hear this on Straight Talk CC. This is amazing. So you're basically saying that regularly, when you go into a scar, whether it's an episiotomy or a cesarean, that pus will come out?
If you go too far too fast, absolutely. It weeps pus. That means the whatever protective skin there is around the scar, the actual membrane of scar tissue skin gets ruptured, and you have to work at the right speed and the right pressure
to avoid
that happening.
Guys, on Dr. Marshall's show for years, and he would talk about from years ago German research that would indicate every scar is an infection. Ellen, you're proving it right now.
I've seen it with my own eyes.
Guts of your work.
Yep.
That every scar is an infection. Think, guys, I'm going to just extend this a little bit further. Think now of scars in the body that are the product of inserting titanium. Like when you break a bone and they put a titanium rod in a body and you have a scar on top of titanium. Now you have an interference field electrically because of the metal, and then you have an infection because of the scar. Think about that. That's another show. But let's get back to this cesarean. So we have now proof positive in experience by a very trained clinician that these scars, which have been rumored to be infections, right? How do you know your scar is an infection? You can't take that to a medical doctor and say, hey, would you prove or disprove the fact that this scar is an infection? But what does it mean when pus shoots out a scar regularly from an enormously experienced woman dedicating to resolving these things for a year on end? I'll tell you what it means. We've got a lot more to learn, and it backs up German research over 25 years ago indicating that scars are infections. I rest my case. Now, that's wonderful.
All right, so that's just the first session, is working to get about 10% more resilience in the scar. What happens next is in the second session, she's still having painful intercourse, and I'm thinking, well, okay, what else could be happening? And then I think about the way the uterus and the pelvic floor are connected. There are actual little connecting ligaments, they're called, the round ligaments of the uterus, that connect the front or the top of the uterus directly into the pelvic floor. Now, here's the thing. Those ligaments are not pure ligament. It's a ligament shell around a muscle. That means that muscle can contract. It's supposed to contract. It's supposed to contract to move the cervix up toward the back of the vaginal canal. The cervix is the business end of the uterus where the baby comes out, and it's mobile. It's supposed to have a range of motion within the vaginal canal. If those round ligaments are glued to the pubic bone with scar tissue, that means that the cervix cannot move up and back out of the way of incoming penetrating objects, and it means your cervix is going to get battered during intercourse, and that's not going to feel good. And if somebody had no pain, which is what this woman's case was prior to the birth of her child, and then she has a cesarean and her cervix feels like it's getting battered, which is why she came to me, that's proof positive that it must be the scar from the C-section that's gluing those round ligaments onto the pubic bone and inhibiting the natural movement of the uterus.
I can't thank you enough, Ellen. See, guys, we're moving you from a scar is a superficial lesion on the body that you just rub, to understanding how deep that scar can go. And this is occurring all over your body, not with just episiotomies and C-sections. But what we're talking about here now is, because of a cesarean, the uterus and the cervix freeze up as one segment, and it doesn't allow the cervix to move out of the way of the end of the penis during intercourse. And all of a sudden, after the celebration of that wonderful moment where you birth a child, do you end your sex life? Do you know how many times over 20 years I have had men and women weeping in my office, recalling moments where their mothers turned to them in the early years of their life, and they remember the mother saying, you know, after my birth to you, my sex life ended. Now, you say that's harsh, and it is a harsh thing. But without the knowledge here, living in ignorance, how many people over the last 4, 5, 6 decades and long before that have suffered from these types of things and found that it was the end of their sex life, that the payoff you get for birth is the end of your sex life with your husband, et cetera, et cetera. And we've got answers to this if you'll open your mind. So get this one deep then. These cesareans are not simple procedures. These episiotomies are not simple procedures. Your medical doctors are beginning to understand that, and a lot of very good conscionable ones. And this is the thing. At the turn of the century, the number one cause of death was infant mortality and maternal mortality, meaning you birthed and your baby died, or you birthed and you died. All right, thanks to cesareans and episiotomies, we have a lot less of this. So there's merit in it, but there's a downside to it. And there are also ways to prevent it, and we're going to get to those in a moment. But the point right now is that sometimes you just got to do these things, and good doctors, so this isn't to criticize good OBGs who do this, but they know now there's problems. And this is where Ellen, I think, saves the day. I think she's been doing a brilliant job of this over the last 4 or 5 years, and I think this is going to blow into something for her much, much bigger, because everybody wins. Medical doctors don't want to do them. Your midwives and doulas know they're dangerous, and it's only with very skilled hands. And Ellen will talk a little bit. I'll make her talk a little bit, or ask her to talk a little bit about her credentials across the United States, teaching midwives, doulas, nurse practitioners, OBGs, if they'll open themselves to it, to alternatives with this type of massage, because it works, and it works fast. Ellen, what are we looking at often? 2, 3 sessions?
3 at the most. I've seen scars resolve in a single session. Sometimes it takes 2. Occasionally it takes 3, because sometimes it takes that long for the client to be ready for the third and final phase. The second phase, first, I see what's going on the outside of the body. I look at the placement of the pelvis. I look at the relationship of the bones to each other. I find out what's moving and what's not moving in the bony pelvis. When I just discover fixation in the bones, I do what I can do with my hands to alleviate that. I stretch the psoas. I open the bottom of the rectus abdominis. So,
and this is the thing about you. And check her website, ellenheed.com. That's Ellen Heed. H is in Harry. E is in Elizabeth, E is in Elizabeth, D is in Dr. Ellen Heed, one word, ellenheed.com. The thing about you, Ellen, is you've studied so many things. This isn't just the vagina and the perineum that you understand. You've studied, I've known you for 12 years. Your backgrounds are all over the place, and yet integrated into that moment when you go and you resolve somebody's problem with your hands. And I think this is one of the things that sets you apart tremendously, because you have to come from a truly integrated approach. You just can't say, I'm a C-sec remediator or an episiotomy remediator. I fix those scars. That's my thing, and that's what I know. This isn't the case with you, and it shows in your work. I want you to tell us a little bit about some of the other things you do, and mention mainland China. Ellen's gone to mainland China. She's been to Hong Kong. She's been to Southeast Asia, to Polynesia. She's been to Australia. She's been to Europe. She teaches this all over the world, and she teaches a lot of other things all over the world. I got news for you, but maybe it's not news for you. The women in mainland China don't really understand what it's all about as it comes to that. I mean, this is a free democracy, and we have the privilege and honor of being able to come on a radio show and talk like this. You don't get this opportunity in mainland China. Ellen, comment on that a little bit. What were the women like in mainland China?
Well, let's start with my translator, for one. I blew through numerous translators in my tour there talking to women because the translators didn't have the language to describe the processes that I was talking about. There isn't even a language. In other words, my translator didn't know the word for orgasm for women. There isn't a language to describe that women actually can climax sexually.
So you mean when women get together and they talk about things intimately, I'm having orgasms, I don't have orgasms, I used to have orgasms, now I'm not, et cetera, et cetera. They don't even have the word.
Let me put it this way. There may be a word, but my translator, who was in her late 50s, didn't know it. That speaks volumes, and this is a woman who translates numerous teachers that come to present in mainland China, and she does the best of the best in terms of anatomy and physiology, which is what I was there to talk about.
This is the inside track, guys. You're not going to read about this in the books. You're not going to look at the Chinese literature to find out just where the social consciousness about these things is. This is a woman who goes all over the world to talk to women, to teach them how to have better health in all the ways that women should be educated about better feminine health. And listen to what she's saying. We have 1 billion people. Some say are going to exceed the American economy in terms of its power over the next number of years. By 2016, I believe, is the predicted date for the supremacy of the Chinese country over the American economy, some say, and they don't have a word for orgasm.
For women.
What is that? For women. That's right. Mm. For women, they don't have a word for orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it like then? Give me a couple of examples on both ends. Did you have women who were irate and upset that you would talk about this?
Well, I had women who were coming to me right at the beginning of the teaching that I was doing who said, my mother's a doctor. I know my parts. What do you have to teach me? I did my class, and they came up in tears at the end of the class thanking me for the information I'd given them. They may have had the parts, but they didn't know the parts that I was teaching them because, to tell you the truth, Dr. Medici, we don't even have names for our parts in Western anatomy and physiology books. I hate to break it to you, but it's shameful.
How little we know
about the female pelvic floor and what gets damaged during tears, episiotomies, and cesarean sections.
Isn't that something? Even here, and yet, we've got solutions if people have enough humility to open themselves. And this is always the thing, guys. My show on it is 10 Signs of Healing. You have to have the humility, and you've got to keep an open mind. And you're going to find this split all over the world internationally. You have people that are going to just open themselves to the reality of what true health is, and you're going to have people who are going to be locked in the I-know-it-all way. It's just fascinating to me, Ellen, when you take something like this to China, to the country of China, and you hear stuff like this.
It's so amazing because this is the country that birthed language for our energetic system that's so accurate in so many ways, and yet the basics of how pleasure is available in the body, there is no language for it. That's just astonishing to me.
All right. Let's cap it up a little bit now. So number one, we've got, what's the statistic in the United States? How many births are we doing cesarean right now in
America?
It's
getting close to 30% of births are cesarean section.
And what is it in Southeast Asia? Don't we have a stat from Thailand?
Oh, it's crazy. In Thailand, in certain hospitals, that means in urban areas where people can afford it, not only Thailand, but Taiwan and Hong Kong and increasingly in mainland China, as the economy improves and women have the choice, they're opting for cesarean section in 98% of the births.
Unbelievable. And this is a credit to America. And the odd part of it is a lot of the energetic concepts we talk about, all right, they derive themselves from Chinese medicine. And yet the Chinese themselves have divorced themselves for all the obvious political reasons from understanding this. And now we have the whole Eastern world doing just the opposite of what the roots of their tradition would dictate. That's unbelievable. Over 98% of babies born in Hong Kong go cesarean today.
Yes.
That's, I can't even deal with this.
Well, there's reasons, not physiological reasons, but reasons of being able to choose the day of your child's birth for purposes of auspicious astrological benefit.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
so,
why.
So we actually have practices in the world where people will create a birth prematurely or hold one, I guess, late or whatever they're going to do so they're born at the right part of the month, maybe even at the right time. Is that what I'm understanding?
Precisely.
That's insane.
Well, that's what
you guys heard it. This is from a woman who does it. She tours it. She talks to people. She tries to bring them techniques so that they can have true health. And we're after this episiotomy cesarean facade. It's a travesty at best. At the worst, you're left not being able to have comfortable sex. You're not going to hold your bowels. You're going to age prematurely. Postpartum blues. Ellen, comment on that as you would see it as it relates to cesarean episiotomy.
Well, and tearing, we have to include that because if you don't get it, and I'm not saying that this is beneficial, but tearing happens, and that's another way to scar up the pelvic floor.
Is that better than episiotomy?
It heals better. It heals faster, and it heals more effectively. In other words, real resiliency gets returned to the pelvic floor.
Why is that? I want the audience to catch this one. Why, and what she's going to say now, and this is very rooted in tradition and proof. It's everywhere. Rather than the slice, which is the episiotomy, let it tear a little bit because it'll heal better. Explain why it'll heal better.
Well, here's the thing. A slice has to be fixed all at one time, and a tear heals by layers. We are layered in our pelvic floor, and when you sew all the layers together at once. In so doing, you're actually creating an adhesion that's much tougher, much thicker, much stronger. And you could say, well, that's a good thing. There's more integrity than in the pelvic floor. That ain't so. What happens is there is more fibrosis now in the pelvic floor to interrupt the flow of blood, lymphatic drainage, and nerve supply to your genitals, to your urinary bladder, to the urethra itself, possibly to the anal sphincter, and that can cause all kinds of problems. So it's better to let the layers heal with the integrity and at the rate that they heal naturally than to actually sew all those layers up together and create a big fat scar, a big strong scar in the pelvic floor.
And this is something that the midwives and the doulas routinely counsel, to let the tear occur. Am I correct?
It depends. It depends on the size of the baby and what they predict the outcome will be. Sometimes an episiotomy is the best choice, but here's the thing. In most countries of the world, the episiotomy goes off at an angle between the floor, the bottom of the introitus, the entrance of the vagina, and the sit bone. It's off at an angle, not on the midline. Only in the United States is the midline episiotomy still routinely practiced.
Wow. So wait, I got to cut in on this then. So we're doing these episiotomies. We know they're an issue, and we haven't gotten it through our heads yet to do the offline. So I want you guys to catch this. The direct line from the bottom of the vagina straight back down
the
middle,
yes,
to the anus is where the doctors will cut. And what the better episiotomy is about, and can they take this to their doctors yet? I mean, is this something?
You can put it into your birth plan. You need to have a birth plan in place if you're going to get the outcome that you request or that you desire in a birth scenario.
So we'll be a little technical now. If a woman didn't want to do a centerline episiotomy, so ladies, get this if you're pregnant, etc., the doctor says you're going to need an episiotomy. Your pelvis is too small for the baby that's coming down, and they know they're going to have to cut. And so they tell you ahead of time what in your birth plan then you're going to put is a request to your OBG to get the cut off the midline, not down the center. And again, Ellen, why do they want it not dead center but off to the side?
So here's the thing. There's a big wad of connective tissue right in the middle of the perineum. It's called the perineal body. It's a big, thick piece of tendon. And that's a place that the body can heal very quickly, which is the rationale for the midline incision, because it heals faster and it's stronger. But that very strength, that very fibrotic mass that develops around the scar is exactly what stops the flow of the energy, and it grows fibrotic tendrils, again like the roots of a tree, throughout the pelvic floor, interfering with the ability to engorge. That means for women to get aroused, interfering with the ability of the vagina to lubricate. That means
wonderful,
sticky, painful, stuck intercourse after that, interfering with the body's ability to feel, because the actual nerve supply can be kind of strangulated by this fibrotic scar tissue. That happens stronger, deeper, faster, because the scar is stronger and deeper. And it doesn't mean that you lose anything in terms of integrity of the pelvic floor. It's for the convenience of healing because it, quote, heals faster. That's not necessarily the best outcome in terms of the effect long term on the scar in that location.
I am just so glad. I just feel so honored now. I got to tell you the truth, because not only we know where in reality on this, and we're talking energetically, which is biophysically, we're talking from the practicality of doing this for years. We're talking with hard science, with hard anatomy, hard neurology, and most of all, we've proven it. You've proven this, Ellen. I've seen you prove it, and we're going to continue to prove it. This is Straight Talk on Health. Dr. Vincent Medici, I'm here with my esteemed colleague, Ellen Heed. I want you to get to her website, ellenheed.com. If you're pregnant, if you're planning on having children, if you've had cesareans or episiotomies, get in touch with her. That's ellenheed.com. I'm just so amazed by all of this. The technical language combined with the experience, combined with the energetics. Just beautiful. So I have a lady in the office about 2 weeks ago, and I can tell stories like this, guys. Anybody that knows me knows I can tell stories forever because I see all this stuff in my office. She's talking to me. I turn around, and she's already run out of the room. And I don't know where she's gone, and I'm wondering what I did. Is she gotten emotional over something? No. She got up to run out of the room to go pee. And when she gets back, I was like, where'd you go that fast? She said, I can't hold my urine. She's 35 years old, and she's had her third cesarean. She has pain into the hip, and she can't hold her urine, and she's 35 years old. Comment on the relationship between these cesareans and chronic urinary tract infections. What's the connection there that we'd want to elaborate on for the audience?
Well, what's happening is that fibrotic scar tissue is preventing the normal sensations from happening. They create urgency. They create frequency and urgency because of the squeeze, the stranglehold they have on the neurology of the pelvic floor. They also affect the suspensory ligament. They cut right through the suspensory ligament of the urinary bladder. The urinary bladder, like the uterus, has its own range of motion. And that range of motion gets denied by the development of scar tissue up the suspensory ligament of the UB. What happens with that is it changes the function. It changes the sensation, and it changes the sense of when is enough. In other words, you get triggered for needing to pee when there's only a few ounces instead of many ounces of urine in the bladder.
So you lose your tone in the bladder.
Precisely.
Now, let me ask you a question. The audience here knows multipollen. They know bladder complex. They know UTI formula. They know Cranstat. What do you think is going to happen to women who have chronic UT infections or can't hold their urine, wake up at night regularly because they can't hold their urine, and then seek herbal remedy for this stuff? You answer it first.
Well, if there's a scar there, you could take all the herbal therapy you want, but it's not going to dissolve the scar. That takes manual work, the application of castor oil, and good pressure. And it may take up to 3 sessions, especially if it's a urinary bladder issue, because you have to get in deep enough to get all around the urinary bladder, which means an intervaginal and an extraneous or a cutaneous approach on the scar on the top side.
So when the bladder's not toned, we call it, when it's atonic, where it lacks the ability to respond correctly to the pressure inside it when you have a little urine. So either you don't pee or you pee too readily. We try herbs, and I think that's a quick, easy fix. But, guys, if you're dealing with any of these traumas, cesarean, episiotomy, or other types of scars, you've got to go outside that. Now, you understand use of clay and castor oil, something that Ellen uses regularly and recommends regularly and is a vital tool. But these scars very often go too deep, and this is where she comes in so beautifully. Now, what is it? You've got some videos where people can, all right, go online, and you've got like an 8-hour segment, and, you know, if you do it one way, That's fine. EllenHeed.com. But another thing you can do, she's got videos out that really show you the anatomy. You know, Ellen, lots of people don't know what a cesarean even looks like.
It's true. And I've got videos of myself working on a cesarean section with somebody who's having many of the problems we've discussed so far today. And I have an online course. It's a do-it-yourself approach to how to work with your own scars. It's many, many, many hours of material. You pick and choose what you want to look at. In order to access the information on this course, you would go to a website called ReclaimSex.com.
That's RSVP.
ReclaimSex.com.
I'm sorry, it's not RSVP.
No, the name of the program is RSVP, Reclaim Sexual Vitality Postpartum, but the website is ReclaimSex.com.
ReclaimSex.com.
That will take you into the opportunity to purchase this online course. The online course has a lot. It has 12 videos about anatomy. It's got multiple videos showing you with my research partner named Jaya, who came to me as a client with a terrible tear to her pelvic floor after the birth of her son, which was completely resolved. I mean, this is the most amazing story of all. I'm just going to take this opportunity to tell it. This woman came in with a vagina that smiled. In other words, the bottom lip of her vagina was stuck in a smiling position, not the normal configuration. That was a result of the way the scar tissue developed in her after the birth of her son. I could see straight into her vaginal floor, and I know this is graphic, but this is why this work is so amazing. There was a big, thick, raised, pink, keloidal scar in her pelvic floor. After the first session, the vagina returned to its normal conformation, and she was having more comfortable intercourse. After the third session, she had no more scar whatsoever. It was completely gone, vanished, as if it had never happened. And she was not only back to normal, was having more enjoyable sex than ever before. She was so impressed, in fact, that she showed up at her third session and brought a film crew with her. Film the work, because she was saying everyone in the world needs to know about this, and we got together and developed this course.
If you're listening in the audience, you know, I think we've got a number of audiences that listen to things like this. Some can't listen, and a lot of people it doesn't dawn on. But for the people that have been through something like this, it's not too outrageous to understand that someone would actually go through an experience like this, have a miracle occur, and then want to bring a film crew to film it. And at first, you know, it sounds so outlandish, and yet go through something like this. Have this type of, you know, watching you, Ellen, over the years, I've learned in such a wonderful way how women know how to bond together.
Mm.
And you really see them gather round in the woman's circle to things like, how do you fix postpartum problems? And so it's not so outlandish to me that someone would actually bring a film crew in for something like this. But on this video, all right, if people investigate it, what do? Do they get self-help techniques?
They get many self-help techniques. They learn passive castor oil application using flannel. They learn active castor oil application using fingers, where and how and why to touch certain places in order to alleviate and remediate scar tissue. There's a lot of anatomy information. There's loads of anecdotal effects. In other words, in order to present this program, I worked with over 20 women doing research, figuring out exactly how and why these techniques worked, and gathered so much information from them. And every one of their stories is part of this program.
Beautiful.
To help explain
Beautiful.
To people why and how this works.
This is big. So you've got to actually, on these videos, all right, you bringing in other women who've been treated, who've been helped, who can give testimony.
Yes.
And that's good, because that's credible, and it's the truth, and people will see it, and fantastic. I wish I had the time to do some of these things myself, but I don't, but I can depend on people like you. Few and far between, unfortunately, to really bring inside track on healing, because you're not going to get this anywhere. We haven't written books on this stuff yet. This is right off the chopping block, but it works. And that's typical. Before things get to the literature, to the video scene, and definitely before they become part of mainstream medicine, they're around 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and people like Ellen and myself and others actually see these things work, and we're running around trying to get other people turned on to it. I think this is one of the things You know, some things last and some things don't. I am sure your work on remediating cesareans and episiotomies will stand the test of time. And I'm going to go on public record to say that because I've seen it, and I've seen it not in a week. I've seen it over 5 years. Now, let me ask you this question. For people who are going to get pregnant, for all the moms out there who have had kids who already know they've got to get the cesareans and their episiotomy straightened out, and what does that mean? Try this one on for size. When you contract down in the pelvic floor, you can feel your neck release. There's a standard, and it's a standard that Ellen would agree with, that I would utilize to get you out of the fantasy of what it means to really resolve the scar. There are levels of remediation of those scars. But if that pelvic floor is where you want it to be at 60, 65 years old, so you don't end up peeing in your pants from age 80 on, or if you're doing it already, irregardless of your version of what it means to resolve these problems, try this one on for size. That when you pull up and contract through the anal sphincter, through the vaginal canal, through the urinary bladder, that your neck starts to release its tension. There's a standard for you. And that's different than what you're going to hear. But I want you to think about it. Because how do you really know you've remediated a scar? Well, yeah, you've gotten rid of the symptoms. You can hold your feces. You can hold your urine. You don't have pain anymore in your pelvis or in your low back. Sex is no longer painful. Those are good ways to tell, and no one would argue with that. But beyond that, Ellen, isn't this little interface between, well, I don't have pain, but I'm not quite like I used to be. That remediation is about opening the meridian system through the kind of work that Ellen does. You know what? It's 10:56. We've got about a minute left. I want you to sum up in the last minute or so before we go off air what you would tell your pregnant granddaughter. If you had a daughter that was pregnant and she was 20 years old and she was 3 months pregnant, what would you want to make sure she did or got knowledgeable about so she didn't get an episiotomy or a cesarean? We've got about 2 minutes. Just give us some sense of that.
So what I would strongly recommend is coming to terms with unacknowledged tension in her body. That means going into the psyche and finding out where psyche is held in muscles that are not in the pelvic floor. Getting straight with that kind of tension and figuring out how to resolve it, either through talk therapy or touch therapy. I think touch therapy is much faster. When that level of tension comes out of the body, then the chances of tears because of too much tension held in those pelvic floor muscles is greatly reduced. Not to mention cleansing, not to mention stretching. All of those things need to happen in order to have a healthy birth.
I want to know from my audience on show number 17, how many people relate to tension in the pelvic floor? 888-777-0711. 888-777-0711. I want you to call in. I want you to talk to me and Ellen. We're going to be here another hour answering the phones. This is Straight Talk on Health. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. We've been with my esteemed guest, Ellen Heed. That's ellenheed.com. 888-777-0711. I want you to call in. I need to know, because I don't know how many of you listening today can really relate to tension in the pelvic floor. Because if you got it, we've got a solution. All right, that's the show. We'll see you next week. Thank you very much. I had a ball. Ellen, thank you so much. I think this was fabulous.
Thank you, Dr. Medici.
All right, cheers.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health.
This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of KBRT, its ownership, its management, or its sponsors.
For true quality of care, you need a QRA specialist who will get to the origin of your health problem and fix it. Call Joanna or Rachel at the Premier Clinic in Santa Monica and make an appointment with Dr. Vincent Medici. Submit your request online at straighttalk.cc. That's straighttalk.cc. Or call 310-320-1132. 310-320-1132. And meet Dr. Medici next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock to learn more about your body's inner workings and how to gain and maintain your best health right here on K-Bright AM 740, celebrating over 30 years of shining over all of Southern California.